Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast for fans and first-timers alike, hosted by three kind, knowledgeable, leather-clad boys. My name is Tommy Dasilo. Sitting next to me, you have one of the other hosts, Adam Knox.
I'm Gladiolus. Hello, I'm the big one, and I don't wear a shirt. Or I do wear it. I think I wear a jacket, but not a shirt.
You're covered in tats, so it kind of looks like you're wearing a jacket.
Yeah, man.
We also have our other host. He's a combination of the nerdy British one and the annoying little whiny one. It's Ben Vanell.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Fucking, yeah, right.
I think we should take a quick rest in the middle of this podcast.
I am. Are you sure we should be podcasting at night, Tommy?
I've come up with a new recipe for podcasts.
The airwaves are very dangerous.
Pretty scary content comes out at night, I have to say.
Yeah, fuck me.
We are not strong enough to tackle this content. Anyone who hasn't played the game that is the focus of all these jokes will be very confused.
Super Mario 2.
Yeah.
We are, of course, this week going to be talking a lot about Final Fantasy 15, which came out last week. And pretty rare for this podcast, we've all played it quite a significant amount this week.
Yeah, we actually have, like, informed things to say about it.
Yeah, I think maybe Uncharted 4 was the last time we all played something
maybe.
To this extent.
Fuck.
Or at least went in on something that's recent and didn't get bored of it within half an hour.
Yeah.
And are able to provide more than the most fleeting of comments.
Are you talking about No Man's Sky? Or any other game you play, Tommy?
Every other game that's come out this year that I've sunk money into.
This is the most, like, pathetic sizzle to go, like, we've actually done our jobs.
And I've got to say, I think people will prefer that less to when we haven't done our jobs.
Yeah.
But we've got, there's actually been, we thought we were coming in here with just heaps of Final Fantasy stuff to talk about, but there's been a lot of other news happened in the last 24 to 48 hours that we've got to get through first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have to, we've just decided that we should.
Yeah.
For the sake of the show.
No, let's skim over it.
It's from like a week ago as well. I don't think anything's happened in 24 hours. That's very pedantic and it's not important.
Yeah.
Well, okay, should we start with, so there was a, what was it exactly, the PlayStation Expo?
Yeah, exactly that.
So they had a big thing, almost live event, almost Nintendo Direct style.
Very
not
much.
Not just a video, like an actual kind of presentation.
Big old press conference.
A keynote, I think it was described as. Yeah,
which is great, just a very kind of like narrow in, here's the big stuff, here's what you want. And there was a lot of huge stuff in there. So where should we start? I guess maybe the biggest one that was a genuine surprise to a lot of people, a surprise to some of the people on this podcast, The Last of Us 2.
Yes.
A surprise in the way that we had just made the big declaration that there probably, A, will not be a sequel, and B, we don't want there to be a sequel.
Yeah, definitely I remember saying there shouldn't be, but, like, it makes sense. Like, when you look at it as just a story or a piece of art or whatever, it was fine alone. You should have probably just left it. But it's so
Naughty Dog listened to that last episode and they thought, who gives a fuck what these three think? They rushed together a trailer.
Quickly, you've got 48 hours or probably closer to a week, but we'll say 24 to 48 hours anyway.
You know what? Naughty Dog just, like, upended all of our predictions. Because the Uncharted stuff is the opposite of what we said, basically, as well.
Oh, yeah, true.
But
let's start on Last of Us.
Last of Us Part 2, which, like, I don't know if, like, they're calling it that to be like, no, this is definitely necessary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. if you called mm. it, but...
But the trailer, when the in the trailer, it just at the end, it just says Last of Us 2.
It says Part 2.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So what do you mean
I think it says The Last of Us 24 to 48 hours.
Do you think they're trying to separate it and say, this is a second
you gotta or the keep opposite. Them separated.
Yeah, I think that it's an Offspring reference.
Okay.
It's like
pretty fly for a fungi.
Ooh.
Yeah?
That wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
Come out and play The Last of Us.
Fuck.
That was much worse. Anyway, I've got low self-esteem after that. I think the part two thing is trying to connect them more because I think a lot of people were like, this does not need a sequel because the ending of that last game was perfect.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yep.
So this is made, I've got to go back and finish that game. I was halfway through it on PS3 and then a friend gave it to me on PS4 and it's just been sitting there. And this did make me go, should I even watch the trailer? Because spoilers, but it has renewed my interest in the first one.
It's really good. That's like one of my favorite games. And then I am worried about this one, honestly, because from the trailer, the thing, guess what? My predictions are always wrong, but here's another hot prediction, and I hope it's wrong. That from that trailer, it looks like Joel's going to be a ghost. And
people have been speculating that, yeah.
Not people, just me. I'm special. And
And Ben, he's not a person.
What is your preferred pronoun, Knox?
I don't know. Great. So I'm really worried about. I think that's a lame trope to the extent where we put a lot of effort into making fun of it in a show that we did. You know, like
yes.
So there's two things about that. You remember in the first one how a lot of people complained about, I didn't ever really get bothered by it, but about how like Ellie would always, her AI made it really weird, so she would always like run in front of enemies but they wouldn't notice her.
Yep.
You know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that was always really jarring. It makes sense that if your like AI buddy was a ghost, that could happen and it wouldn't bother anybody.
Sure.
And, it would be really funny if they did that because I'm sure it would be a work backwards from that of like, if we just made the character a ghost, nobody's ever going to care.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you'd have to think like maybe that problem is gone because that was a PS3 game.
Maybe.
And they're now developing this for the PS4. But what, like, so why do you have that much of a problem with it? I mean, you're saying the trope of people being a ghost, I presume you're saying that as a twist.
Yes.
You make it sound like you would know from the start of this game, like, hey, your AI guy is a ghost.
Yeah, and even if that were the case, I think that would still be a bit lame because it means that the conflict that's taking place is within a character's head, which to me is less interesting than interpersonal relationships, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, okay, but I don't know. I mean, I don't – from a creative standpoint and in trying to make that into a game, what is to be gained by having a character run around the screen that's a ghost if you know that it can't be killed or whatever?
Well, nothing in terms of like a gameplay thing, but it would basically be that because it looks like it's going to be a revenge story about Ellie trying to take revenge on someone for in something, and that thing is probably going to be Joel's death.
Okay, you know what? Who cares? Let's just spoil the ending of number one.
Yeah,
I kind of don't know what you're talking about. I kind of don't know what you're getting at.
Ellie and Joel are both alive at the end of one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it ends with, if you want to play it, by the way, obviously this is spoilers because I'm going to literally describe the end of the game. Joel takes her to the Fireflies, who are a group that can maybe cure the disease thing that makes people funguses or fungi.
Yep.
And Fireflies have to kill her if they're going to do this operation on her to get the cure. Joel goes, fuck you, I like this girl. She's like my fake daughter now.
Yep.
He kills them, steals her, lies to her about what happened, says they couldn't fix it, and then she kind of knows that he lied a little bit at the end, and then it cuts to black. And it's really well done.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's a good thing. Like, it speaks to how well they did the story in that game, that the thing I'm most concerned about with this is like a really minor story detail thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they've done it well before. Specifically, this team of people have done two really good stories in The Last of Us and Uncharted 4.
Yep.
I'm confident it'll probably be good, but I just personally don't like that particular thing.
So
of
what,
like,
is it about the trailer that makes you think that Joel's going to be a ghost? Is it the bit where he's sitting at the pottery wheel?
Yeah, it's
and
mainly...
it's got that. It's, you see the annoying thing on the screen where it's like you have to control the pottery wheel. You have to like circle the fucking the left stick to the certain degree to get the.
I think it's where they cross the streams to kill him.
Yeah, Ray Parker Jr. being in that trailer, the music was not appropriate for the tone. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like it just little things of like.
I agree on a very on like a on the level that we can make any judgments like at this point,
which is no, level.
Which is no level at all.
So the trailer is just it's voiceover. Camera goes into a little hut and
she's playing a guitar.
Relics, yeah.
And then he walks in from like a bright sort of doorway. Everyone's dead on the ground. He walks up. He's like, "Are you really going to go through with this, kiddo?" or something like that. And she's like, "I'm going to kill them all."
Oh, fuck. I watched the wrong one. What did I watch?
Crash Bandicoot? I don't know.
No, I watched one that was just, it was just voiceover in a, and it was just the camera panning around like an empty cabin.
I have no idea what you watched.
What did I watch?
I don't know.
Huh.
Paul Blart 2. It would suck that Paul Blart was a ghost in Paul Blart 2.
Yeah, it did. Maybe I watched like a fan-made one or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
You didn't watch the real one.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Because Ellie's like a late teenager.
Looks like Ellen Page.
Well, she looks less like Ellen Page now.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they got in trouble for that last time. I think Ellen Page tried to sue them, right?
Yeah. She definitely tweeted about it.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that the major problem that any like big fan of The Last of Us has with this sequel is that the first one was one of the best examples of a self-contained cinematic story that was paced for a video game.
Yeah.
Like they just nailed everything about it.
Yeah.
Better than the Uncharted ones, like... I think because it was self-contained and not like the second like episode in a franchise, it was that like more impressive.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're franchising this now takes a little bit away from it, I think.
It is, and the fact that like that's just the world we live in. That you know, everything, you know. So if something's successful, like even if your intent as the creator is like, no, I just want to make this self-contained story, it's like, well, business is business. So something's going to make money.
Especially in video games as well.
I don't know if any of you guys have watched the show Bloodline, the Netflix show.
I've watched like one episode,
So the first season is, like, I loved it. And then like 5 minutes before the end of the last episode, a very tropey thing happens where it's all about this conflict of this family and they're quite wealthy and they've got this black sheep brother who's played by Ben Mendelsohn who kind of comes back into town and then all this sus stuff starts happening and they start to... I'm spoiling the whole thing, so tune out if you give a fuck.
Yeah, I'll put time codes in for The Last of Us and for this.
Yep. So he... all this stuff starts happening and he's kind of basically brought the family business into it, and so the other siblings... You know, they're trying to kind of get rid of him and take him out. And then they basically end up having to kill him to kind of like, you know, protect the family name and kind of cover it up. And they do it and it's just all completely wrapped up, just totally wrapped up where you go, great. And then in the last like 2 minutes of the last episode, everyone's sort of sitting around and this kid just shows up and goes, "Oh, I'm his son. I'm looking for my dad."
Insane.
And then it's like, and so, you know, oh, great. Season two is like this. And I tried to watch a couple of episodes of it. And it's like, I don't care about
any
of
this. They're all looking at the camera with their mouths agape. Like one of them drops a glass and then do, or whatever the.
Yeah.
Yeah. They drop a mug and it has, "I have a son" written on the mug. It shatters.
It really frustrated me because I was like, that is just a 10-part miniseries. Would have been one of the best standalone shows,
right?
But you can't ever do that now. You can't just go, "We're just going to make one thing."
Yeah.
Again, The Night Of. I don't know if anyone watched that great HBO series recently.
John Turturro.
Yeah, which is awesome, and I would recommend to anyone who likes good things. But again, it wraps
I'm
up,
out.
And I read a thing. I read a thing recently saying like, "Oh yeah, they're considering, you know, what to do for a second season." It's like, God damn it!
Like Stranger Things as well. That was the same thing where, like, right at the end, he like coughs up another slug.
Yeah,
and you're like, "Oh fucking, you already did this."
Yeah.
You just dealt with the slugs.
I know. Nothing can be That's why those anthology shows are so great.
I was just going to bring up, Fargo is like a great example of doing it right.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think people are much more used to that now. And if they'd have done that with The Last of Us 2, because I really liked playing the first Last of Us as well. So I'm looking forward to another game of that.
Yeah.
But just the story I liked was wrapped up. But I like those characters and maybe they'll do something cool. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's easy enough to sort of go, oh, but what if they just did like the same... Yeah. The same world, but like different characters, like on another side of it, kind of thing. But you know, if you've got these really strong characters that people are really connected to, it is a big roll of the dice to go.
Totally.
Hey, here's new people,
and also like good actors who played them, and like they already have worked together before, so they will probably it'll probably still be fine.
Sure,
and it's and just the, a little it makes you nervous.
Yeah, the fact that Ellie is the protagonist now, as opposed to Joel, is a good twist. Like not a twist, but you know,
but like
a good change.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
And look, these guys, I mean, they've got a track record. I think we're in pretty safe hands.
Yeah.
I don't think.
But everybody fucks up at some point.
That's true.
That's what I keep telling my parole officer.
So when's that? Is that that's not for
well, 2018 or something? Yeah. At least be 2018.
Yeah. Okay. That's. I guess there's nothing really more to say on that. Let's move on to Uncharted. They also revealed. They showed like 9 minutes of gameplay footage of.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Of.
I just watched a video of a hut.
Jabba the Hutt.
But the Hutt's set in like Bangladesh or somewhere. Yeah. they announced. So what is it? It's the Uncharted, the Lost Legacy. The Lost Legacy.
The Lost Legacy? Yes.
I was
or the Last
say,
Legacy. I don't know.
I was going to say The Last Liberty. I'm not qualified to be on this show. Even as a guest, I shouldn't be on here. So now.
Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Now, what is this? Is this.
It's like a side.
Is this its own game or is this the DLC been talking about?
Yeah, okay, it's definitely that.
And featuring Chloe.
Yeah, everyone's favorite character you forgot was in Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
And also the villain, I forget her name, but like what the villain
the South African lady.
Oh, Naomi or something.
Yeah, it's Naomi.
Yeah.
And it's those two and it's like a prequel thing.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
Answering all the questions you never asked.
Yeah.
The gameplay footage looks very Uncharted.
Yeah.
You're kind of sneaking through this building. You work your way up onto a rooftop. It looks great.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how. Because I started watching it thinking, oh, this is a whole other game.
Mm.
Because it wasn't – the article I read about it wasn't quite clear what it was going to – because it's also – it's coming out as – as its own disc. You're going to be able to buy it in shops.
Oh, right.
Or if you get there's like a deluxe edition of Uncharted 4 that if you buy that, you'll get this for free. But I don't know that this is the add-on DLC because it
has to be.
The way it's being talked about because the other thing I read in the article they were saying once we started to work on this as DLC and then it very quickly ballooned out and felt like this is kind of its own thing. So I don't because it's got its own title. So it's not Uncharted 4 expansion mode or story mode. It's got its own separate title.
Okay.
Oh, it is. It's a standalone thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So which means this isn't even the DLC.
So maybe the DLC is still like Sam and Sully or whatever.
Because this doesn't look because DLC is typically. You're downloading it into that game,
yes.
So it's just running on the same engine, and you would think using this looks like it's a completely different setting.
Yeah,
it looks like it's doing a lot of graphical stuff that doesn't seem like not that I know anything about the tech of how this works.
Yeah,
but it doesn't look like it's running on the same stuff.
No,
okay.
At least to me,
it looks more like I don't know, like those Grand Theft Auto 4 ones, how they were just like kind of complete, like a standalone thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Ballad of Gay Tony.
Yeah.
It was one.
Like a mini, so just like a, I guess maybe just a slightly shorter game.
Yeah.
Sick.
Cool.
But it looks really cool. I mean, it looks like more of the same, but, you know, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I've always wanted to play as an Australian actress who's lived in LA for 5 years and has slightly lost the accent.
but that, I mean, that is weird though because you sort of go, where's the DLC?
Where is it?
And is it under here? But it's behind you.
But they also did, I mean, it is weird where they were like, this is it. Uncharted 4, this is it. We're done with this now. Like when I first read the announcement of this Lost Liberty, I thought, oh, that, well, okay, this is some other studio. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, yeah. I got the impression.
What is it called, Nox?
Lost Legacy.
Right.
I got the impression that this was going to be, that the franchise would just be now farmed out to whoever wants to have a crack.
Yeah. Yep.
And which it still probably will be.
Yeah.
Eventually, well, but they seem like they just keep getting little ideas in their head.
Yeah. Well, the guy who was the director
every
of...
Every time they think of a new thing, they're like, okay, now we're definitely done with Uncharted. Whoa. What if?
Well, there is actually, there's a great bit of whoa in the gameplay footage they showed. Of course there is. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy who directed The Last of Us and Uncharted 4 is like having a year off. So I think like literally the guy doing Last of Us 2 is a different director.
Is that Neil Druckmann guy?
Yes.
Oh,
he's
shit.
The guy. No, he's the guy who is doing
doing it. Okay.
It was some other guy called like Ray or something.
Okay. I think he might have not been though, because I know that Neil Druckmann was the main one on The Last of Us at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
IGN was wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, they are changing teams and they are getting, I guess, different people within Naughty Dog to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
he was at least the story director, I think. Then maybe it's like a gameplay lead director or something.
I think that might be it. Yeah. I think that Druckmann is stepping up from a vice, you know, senior role to a senior role.
Cool.
Which is cool.
Vice senior.
I couldn't think of the word.
I'm a senior at Vice. I take the most drugs and then do the most like dog shows or whatever.
Anyway, it looks cool. I'm on board. Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of Naughty Dog, we also got a bit more information on one of their first game, the remasters of Crash Bandicoot, which got announced at E3, and we were kind of debating, you know, they basically said, we're bringing back Crash, and it wasn't quite clear what that was going to be. They've shed a bit more light on that. They've shown off some concept art and basically showing that it's a... What is it?
And they've shown gameplay. It's the first three games, like, completely remade. It looks fucking weird.
It looks weird.
Yes.
I think it looks great.
I think it looks awesome.
Yeah. Do you not think that Crash Bandicoot as a character translates well to being high definition, if that makes sense?
I think that
he looks like a fucking monster.
He looks weird.
I like it, though. You know, we were talking... Yeah. We haven't talked about this yet. But, okay, we were talking the other day about Wario, and about originally when Wario like appears in Super Mario Land 2, how he's just like looks just really fucked up and demented.
Grotesque.
That's what I like about Crash, that he just seems fucking unhinged. I really like that in a character.
Like his arms are too high up his body.
Yeah,
and like,
I like it.
Nah,
I like fucked up weird design.
I'm afraid of him.
I think that the environments and the levels look amazing. I think they look fucking great.
Like, it looks good, and it looks like it moves and plays pretty much exactly the same.
Yep.
Well, I read a thing of them saying that they basically had to. They themselves were like, well, what are we going to do with this? Is this going to be, are we going to remake it? Are we going to remaster it? And they tried to get, there's very little of the original code that is salvageable that you can transport over.
Right.
But what little bit they have there, they kind of took, and then they've had to expand on it and kind of like rebuild it.
Yeah.
And it does look great. It reminds me of Ratchet and Clank in the way that
this is what we were saying. This is what was the big speculation at the time. And will it be that like they did with that? Yeah. And it looks like it pretty much it is that.
Yeah.
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 Which, it looks cool. I never played those games at the time.
Mm.
I loved the little bit of it that you got to play in Uncharted. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I think it'll be really fun.
Yeah. He's basically like a ripoff of the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because he does a spin.
It's weird because it's like there's this, you know, big kind of, nostalgia for him. But I remember kind of looking at it at the time and thinking that it was a bit too much of an obvious mashup of, like, trying to just get, you know, three popular characters together.
Who were the three?
He's part Sonic.
Oh, right.
And he's part, you know, like, it's a bit designed by committee for my tastes.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit, definitely.
And it's obviously the Super Mario 64 gameplay style.
Totally.
I think he's one of those weird ones where, like...
no one person went... It's not out of one person's sketchbook where, like, this is this fucking character that I came up with years ago, and I've been refining him, and this is what he's like. It's like a boardroom full of people going, like, oh, so he should be.
Some lunatic walks in, and he's like, I've been thinking about this guy for years. He's a bandicoot, his arms are too high up, he wears cut-off jeans. That's it.
I think it's not so much a boardroom, it's like the couple of guys at Naughty Dog at the time, like, look, we've got to make a game and we've got to make money. What's going to make us some money?
I think it's even, it worked backwards from that, where, like, they have certain things they wanted him to do in the game, like spin and all that stuff. So it's almost back when... things used to be the visual design was based on their actual use case design in the game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why it looks so weird, is because it's like, okay, well, he needs to do these things and we can't show his dick, so give him some pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't give him entire pants, though. That'd look weird. Cut them pants off right below the knee.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, man. If he had a wallet chain as well and a, and a Linkin Park t-shirt.
Yeah.
That'd be great if he had, in the original, if he had some real 90s shit on him and they had to now make the decision, like, should we put this over in the port? Like, if he was wearing a fedora in the originals, like, geez, the fedora's kind of like, it's been kind of skewed a bit, hasn't it?
That turtleneck doesn't really play in the same way anymore.
Is Rip Curl still a brand? Is that still...
How does Oasis's licensing work now?
He's wearing an I Love Bill Cosby t-shirt.
No, that's fine. I remember when I was a child...
Oof, brace yourself, guys.
Whoop-de-doo.
Place near where my grandma lived in England.
Yeah.
Where it was like one of them big, like, indoor kids' playgrounds where you go to if it was raining. And so it's got, like, all the soft things you can jump into, like the pits of foam and whatever, things to run up. And there was also a little section with a PlayStation, and it had just Crash Bandicoot.
Oh.
So I played a lot of Crash Bandicoot there. Mm. And one day someone broke in and stole just that PlayStation and then fucked off with it.
Wow.
So some people love Crash Bandicoot.
Is this the story of how you got a PlayStation? Is this?
I have owned a PlayStation similarly to around that time.
Yeah.
I only have Crash Bandicoot, but it's just a coincidence. I burst through that door with, like, a big spin. Walked out with it shoved down.
You ate a bunch of apples and stole a PlayStation.
You know what I used to love, and you mentioned this before, the Tasmanian Devil video game on the Mega Drive.
Yeah, that was fucking sick. Yeah. I had that as well,
I remember playing it at a kids club at a holiday resort that I went to with my parents.
Wow, get a load of fucking... Richie Rich over here. I couldn't think of a rich character and then realized...
You nailed it.
I couldn't think of a rich character, so I had to settle for the archetypal rich character.
Well, it turns out if you just make up the name of what a rich character might be, you end up saying Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Now that's comedy. All that laughing's kind of unlodged the silver spoon that's up my ass still from childhood. But yeah, I remember they had, that was like the one game that they had in the Mega Drive, which I found very weird. It's like, because it's like, who's going out and getting the test? Like, surely it just comes packaged in with Sonic. Like, who's going out deliberately and buying? Like, someone.
I'm
going to
sell Sonic and get the Tasmanian Devil game.
I want the original Australian Sonic.
Yeah.
But Tasmanian Devil was my favorite cartoon character growing up. And so just being able to play as him and the fact that you could hold down the button and do the spin, I was fucking yes!
That noise of it, like, speeding up as well was really good.
Yeah. And he'd do his little it was
great character.
So cool. You know what else is pretty cool that I loved as a kid, and I don't know if it holds up.
Mm.
The Ronal sex.
It holds up.
Every time I'm doing anal now, I'm like, this is so retro.
Yeah.
The Roadrunner video game on the Super Nintendo. It's really cool because it's like a platformer where you're the roadrunner, and so you can go really fast, which is cool.
Mm.
I think going fast is really cool.
Yeah.
But also the coyote is kind of like coyote appears randomly in the levels and does his little stunts on you, and you've got to kind of like avoid him.
On you.
He'll appear on like a rocket and stuff, like all the little animations and,
and
stuff of him kind of coming onto screen are really cool.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
No.
Really? No. Yeah. It's worth checking out.
I don't remember your childhood experience at all.
Okay, so Crash Bandicoot looks really cool.
Yeah, what else was there?
What else came up?
Oh, Death Stranding, I guess, was shown a bit there and a bit at the other thing that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But that looks fucking awesome to me.
Yeah.
I really like the – I mean, obviously they haven't shown
who knows what the fuck it's going to be, but it looks – it's It looks cool.
Yeah, yeah. The planes, especially with the sort of tentacles flying behind them,
and the
really
rainbow,
like, the look of.
Like really just great, like art direction of that clip. Like
just the soldiers with skulls, like that should be lame.
Yeah,
if you say like it's a bunch of soldiers, but they've got skulls instead
the
of
skull
face.
Squad.
Yeah. Skull
I mean,
face.
I've never gone deep in on any Hideo games. I love him as a character, like as a big as
it goes
as
Tasmanian
a...
devil Hideo Kojima.
You know, his vision is clearly just like what he wants to do is so clear. I get the impression that he's a bit of a Quentin Tarantino, and that he's very much like he's just absorbed all, like, you know what he knows what he loves, and it just goes into this big filter and then comes out the other end, and it's just this very specific thing that, you know, he knows what he wants to do, and yeah, I mean, when it's that kind of singular vision, and anything that should be lame, like, yeah, of course it's going to come out looking
like
shiny and great.
Quentin Tarantino is a great thing to draw a comparison between, because everything Quentin Tarantino does should be really lame.
Yes.
Like, and then they fucking kill Hitler in slow motion. And then they, like, that sort. But it fucking works. And Kojima's the same thing. And I bet that this will be Metal Gear Solid 5 in a completely different setting.
Yes.
In terms of how it plays, because they're showing a bunch of tanks and planes and shit. Like guns.
Sure,
it'll be a military thing.
Yeah, it's not going to be like an action adventure Uncharted thing. It's going to be
probably not.
Who knows? Yes, I mean, that first trailer of just him on the beach sort of makes me think, you know, just action adventure survival kind of.
Maybe.
There's not much. There's not really a look of much weaponry kind of stuff. Like, I personally would like to see that. I mean, I started trying to play Metal Gear Solid 5, and I just found very overwhelming, and I couldn't quite get my head around how it all works and what you meant to do. I like the idea of a bit more of a
simplistic... This is you just trying to turn the PlayStation on as well.
It was hiding in a box.
I genuinely do have trouble turning my PlayStation on because I can never remember the two buttons. I can never remember which one's
that's
eject
fucked as well,
and which one's
the
power.
The eject button is on the bottom, but then the disc comes out chasing at your finger because your finger's covering up that
It's like
section.
A chain chomp in Mario.
Yeah, it's fucking goddamn absurd.
Yeah.
That's great that you tried to make a joke about what's the most inept thing that Tommy could be, and it's actually true.
Yeah.
I don't know how to turn my PlayStation on.
That's why you never play any games.
But yeah, I'm in. This Death Stranding thing was cool. I like the way that he's just gradually rolling out trailers where you just watch all this bullshit happen that gives you no indication of what kind. It could be a fucking puzzle game for all we know.
Yeah, it could be a point and click adventure.
Yeah,
it could be a puzzle game where it's like
it's
the background
game.
Is a swamp and you have to, like, you know, match up the fucking dead babies and align their heads together and then they all disappear.
Three Mads Mikkelsens in a row.
Yeah.
And then they all disappear.
Oh, yeah. And so Guillermo del Toro is in the trailer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is it? What's his say it?
Guillermo.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Is in it as an actor.
And do we assume he's like involved in the creative direction?
I think he isn't, because he was going to be involved in Silent Hills, I think. And then
that's why he hates Konami.
Totally. And he was tweeting about that, which was great.
Yeah.
But I think this is just a bit of a thing of, again, like, you know, Hideo really wears his influences on his sleeve. He would be a big, big chowing down on the del Toro dick.
Totally.
Like, totally.
Big Pan's Labyrinth and everything, and probably went,
Peter
hey,
Pan's
I love
Labyrinth,
you.
Did you say?
What?
Did you say Peter Pan's Labyrinth?
No.
No, I thought you did.
Well, you did.
Yeah. And now I want to see that movie.
Yeah. That's great. Someone do that up for us.
Yeah,
Someone.
The Lost Boys. They're lost in Peter Pan's Labyrinth.
Fashion in, like, what's his name? What's one of the name of the kids? I can only think of
Grumble.
What's the name of the little fat pirate?
Just make one up. Who cares?
Gringo. Yeah.
Adam Knox.
Scrinkin. Bashing him in with the butt of a gun like that bit from Pan's Labyrinth. But I could only think of Tinkerbell, and I didn't want to say Tinkerbell because that was too grim.
Yeah.
What's
Captain
the name
Hook.
Of his little buddy?
I don't know.
Hook's friend.
Who the fuck who's in
Goldberg.
Their 30s can recall the names of the boys in Peter Pan off the top of their head?
Well,
I'd be on a list if I could do that.
I used to, when I was a kid, have to fast forward through the fight scenes in Peter Pan because they scared me too much.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Hook?
I didn't see Hook until I was an adult, and I loved it. It's a whimsical adventure.
It's such a great movie. Yeah. I love it.
I've never seen it.
I did see it as a kid, and it was just like the perfect kids movie.
Yeah.
So it's all about imagination and stuff. It's so cool. And yeah, Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks plays like a fat lost boy. It's great.
Yeah. That other guy, what's his name? Screech or something?
Dustin Hoffman?
No. Yeah, him.
Dustin Screech Hoffman.
Anyway.
Bob Hoskins?
No. The kid, Rufio.
Oh, Rufio.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Bangarang. Yeah.
Yeah, Bangarang.
Yeah. It's Skrillex. A great movie. Cool. Anyway, back to Pan's Labyrinth. Wait, no. Back to Death Stranding.
Death Stranding. So, yeah, it looks great. I mean, I'm looking. It's clearly ages away, but if he's just going to keep, you know, filtering these whack little trailers out, even if the game ends up being no good, just getting a year of these fucking weird little short films.
Yeah,
I agree. Metal Gear Solid 5 was great.
I don't know about you guys, but
that's kind of what happened with that. Like,
I found that this most recent clip, like a genuinely tense short film.
Mm.
Like, I thought it was really well made, really well directed.
It was cool. I like the weird art style. I like that he's getting to do something different for the first time in like 20 years.
Yeah. I did like the split between like watching this, which was like a, you know, no gameplay, weird. And then like when I started watching that Uncharted thing, at the start I thought it was kind of the same thing. I thought it was just like pre-rendered trailer.
Mm.
I kind of was like going, oh, look, it's cool and all, but for fuck's sake, what happened to showing a trailer for a game where you actually see what the game is?
Yeah.
But then I realized that they were doing that in Uncharted, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. I appreciate that they actually did that. Like, I do like a bit of a trailer that's a trailer that's, you know, pre-rendered cinematic.
Yeah.
But I also think if every company starts doing that and you do it too much, it's like, well, this isn't, you know what I mean? It's put some gameplay in. Like,
that Death Stranding one was apparently like in the engine, but was a, but Kojima, like, that's what a cutscene will look like.
Kojima should be the only one who's allowed to do it, I reckon. Everyone else should just have to cut together gameplay footage.
Yeah. You're going to hate the trailer for Cabin Simulator, Tommy.
But that'll be, I'll go to watch that and I'll actually end up watching the real Last of Us trailer. Yeah, it's not really set in a cabin at all. It seems it's bullshit. There's too many people in that cabin for
I've
my life.
I've never been to a cabin with zombies in it before.
Okay, what else came up at this show?
Knack 2.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Let's move on.
I think that was about it.
Did they mention the Resident Evil 7 demo there, or is that just something that came out around the same time?
I think that's just a separate thing.
Yeah.
Marvel versus Capcom, a new one of them.
Yep.
I've never played one of them.
Yeah, I don't really like fighting games. If I did, I'm sure, like, that kind of looks cool.
Yeah.
It's
the,
like, yeah.
The 2D ones, I remember, looked really incredible.
Right.
They looked great at the time, but I'm not so into the 3D look of them as well.
I think those sorts of games, you know, you're an old school fan, you love it and you're hyped about this, or you're everyone else who kind of couldn't give a shit either way.
Yeah,
totally. And there was a weird thing I remember with the last one where, again, I never played it, but there was a thing with they lost the Marvel license, and then so a bunch of the DLC, even if you've bought it, disappeared.
Wow.
So I kind of don't want to ever buy any game ever again. I'm just going to steal them all from that little place where I went as a kid.
Yeah. Well, I think that these kind of games are, like, the people who get hyped about them are fans of, like, Marvel. Like, fans of the characters in it.
Totally.
So.
No, I'm a fan of Mega Man.
Yeah.
That's why I'm getting into it.
Yeah.
Mega Man's my favorite. It's 1988. But, that looks fine. Probably none of us are going to play it, though, so.
Nah.
And I think they have said they don't have any X-Men in it as well.
Ah.
Right.
Which is kind of lame.
Wolverine was always the great one.
Yeah. That was probably about it for this thing. But there was another similar thing on, what, last Friday our time or something? Mm. The Game Awards.
Yeah.
Who bill themselves as the Oscars of games. And I have...
It's like, if you call your event the Game Awards, you don't have to then go... Get it? Like, it's like the like, we get it.
What do you mean by the word award?
Okay, now let's go back to the. Can you do a definition on that?
2016. So when's this happening?
Is this a password for something? 2-0?
Listen, I have not been able to find a product to shave with lately. Will it help me with that? That was fucking so grim. So the Game Awards, if you didn't
What's the guy? Jeff Knight Keeley? Or
Jeff
Knightley?
Keighley.
Yeah,
Jeff Keeley. Jeff Keeley.
I was interested in this purely because Run the Jewels performed.
Yeah, and they
because
were pretty
good. And I meant to ask you about this in your quote-unquote review of it.
Yeah.
So they're both playable characters.
I haven't even started yet with my quote-unquote review. You don't know if it's going to go off
Gears
the rails.
Of War.
Oh, of Gears of War. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Run the Jewels are playable characters in it.
Apparently.
Yeah. Some of their music is in the soundtrack and you can play as them, which I think is, like, for them, I guess, super fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
I think, probably in the multiplayer, which I haven't touched that much of. And if, I will be Killer Mike forever
yeah.
in that. That'd be sick. But they were pretty good, and I didn't know that they had the third one coming out on like the 13th of January or something.
Yeah.
The Jewels 3 is
the album, yeah. Very excited for that.
Anyway, they performed and a couple of other people performed, and it was just sort of this big ordeal, honestly. I watched the whole thing. And bits and pieces of that were fucking difficult to...
This is my favourite of the Noxisms. This thing was an absolute fucking piece of shit. I sat through all 3 hours of it. From the very get-go, it was absolutely abhorrent. Anyway, 3 hours later, I'm like, guess what? Nothing's changed.
Well, I don't know why I do that.
Me either.
Yeah.
But it's content, baby.
It is content.
Yeah, it's true.
So, yeah. It was fun. Everyone has the best of intentions with it. He's this old guard guy, this Jeff Keighley guy, who used to be on Spike, which was like the really lame video games channel that like a bunch of wannabe actors went on and pretended to care about video
games. Was it a video games channel, or was it like, I thought it was,
I think it was a channel for dudes.
For blokes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was, and then it transitioned maybe into being like hip culture. Than just when everyone realized, channel for blokes doesn't fly so well anymore.
It was like channel for awesome teen dudes, like as compared to G4, which was like channel for just general nerds,
right?
So G4 had Attack of the Show. Spike.
Yeah. Spike. I don't know what Spike had. Bought back Ren and Stimpy like 10 years ago.
Ooh.
They recommissioned Ren and Stimpy.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea what they are then. But anyway,
they were just a digital channel, and they did some stuff. Yeah.
So he's gone rogue. He's gone independent.
He's gone rogue,
and
he's the least going rogue kind of guy in the world. He's so vanilla.
Check out this loose cannon.
But then, as well, like by being
the stones on this guy.
By being independent, it means that that thing has advertising all the way through, really heavily, which is fine. Like, you need to pay for shit,
totally.
But just the one particular, like. Run a fucking Fallout 4 trailer and say, like, hey, it's still out, baby, during the show. That it's an ad, that's perfectly good.
Yeah.
The Schick Hydrobot was this fucking poor dude dressed up as a shaving razor that's also a robotic superhero. And then this other guy standing next to him going, Schick Hydrobot just schooled me playing this game.
Yeah.
Hey, Schick Hydrobot. School these losers on how to maintain moisture on your face while you're shaving.
Yeah.
And because he's in a suit, the Schick Hydrobot just like awkwardly clunks. And it was so difficult to
watch. How much money would you want to play the Schick Hydrobot?
Oh, like $40. I don't care. I'll do it. Doesn't matter.
You have to admit the segment on the Sanyo ironing man was great.
Here's Jimmy the, I don't know, doorbell creep.
Jimmy the doorbell.
I couldn't think of a product you might want to market.
Ding dong, I'm going to fight you.
Yeah.
Your friends are here.
So they had a bunch of like trailers and stuff.
Jimmy the doorbell.
I spent a good 30 seconds coming up with Sanyo ironing man.
Yeah, I know.
And I was trying to come up with one. Yeah. I'm like, there's been two. If you can't come up with one that's better, that contributes anything in any way, it's, you know what, comedically, it's fine to just sit back and let the others take it.
Not in my opinion.
Jimmy the doorbell.
You might want to buy a doorbell.
Yeah.
What do you think, houses just come with doorbells? You got to fucking put them in. Oh,
someone,
them.
I hate doing call outs like this, but someone please mock that up for us.
Yes.
Jimmy the doorbell.
Yep.
Could you even draw a doorbell with legs?
We got to make t-shirts.
These are questions you should have asked before you pitched Jimmy the doorbell.
I'm the
ideas.
Why
are you holding
man?
A cushion over your crotch? Have you got erect at the mere thought of Jimmy the doorbell? Knox about a minute ago grabbed a cushion and placed it on his lap.
Maybe I felt a little threatened. Maybe it was sort of a gesture to protect myself from what felt like an onslaught.
Great.
Very good.
Great. The show was fine, and it was put together. There were just moments of like
pure awkwardness.
Yeah. So that game, That Dragon Cancer, which is a game that parents made about their child who actually died of cancer, won an award that it probably should have. I haven't played that game because I do not have the courage.
Yes.
I think it would break me.
Yep.
And so he won an award.
Oh, the cushion's back.
the way the presenters brought him on was with the biggest smile and a grin and like the most jovial attitude.
Yeah,
like
it should have been a very respectful and serious, but genuine. You know,
and the winner of the Oscar is 12 Years a Slave. Like, it's not you. pick your tone right.
Yeah. It was inappropriate.
Chic Hydrobot standing behind him.
Yeah. It was inappropriate for the walk on music to be Run the Jewels performing their song where the chorus is, "She want that dick in her mouth all day."
Oh, God. Anyway, but they showed a bunch of trailers. And there was a Zelda one, a new one of them.
Little bits and pieces of kind of new stuff in there.
Little
nothing.
Fucking dog.
Yeah, a little dog in there. How good's that?
Yeah. It does look, because I really haven't been paying a lot of attention to Breath of the Wild, but I did watch that awards show, and that clip is beautiful. Like, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, I've been a bit the same. I was very hyped for that very first little taste we got at E3. I was like, I can't wait to see what this is.
Yeah.
But I'm not someone who I don't really like to keep up with, like, oh, this website got a hold of like one new little screen that shows this and the speculation. I kind of would prefer
they found footage of the back of the hut.
Yeah. Just watching the Nintendo Direct videos and also just waiting till when it comes out and going,
because you know you're
going
to buy
it. This thing from this video. Yeah, totally.
And Nintendo have said they're only showing like a tiny portion of the game anyway, so there's not a huge amount of value to watching any of it.
Yes, totally.
And they did like a little playthrough of a tiny section as well with two Nintendo people.
Yep.
Right.
And then what else was it? There was Mass Effect Andromeda, a trailer for that, which looks good.
Yeah.
That is weird. That is weird to be playing this stuff in an award show. Like, that's like at the Oscars getting Michael Bay to come out and going, "Here's some new Transformers footage."
Yeah, totally. And it is it is a huge, like, the awards, I think, are nice and not the focus from the point of view of anyone contributing money to that show.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah,
if that makes sense. It takes away a lot of the prestige of it by making it a marketing event.
That being said, it's cool that there's a big event that I guess stuff like this does kind of maybe help to legitimize games as an industry.
Yeah, sure, but take away that advertising stuff. Maligned,
Speaking of Kojima as well, like, they gave him this like industry icon award, which is like they're all made up, but they like just to bring him on stage and say, "Hey, you're great. Sorry about the shit that happened to you," basically.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yes.
Like, that sort of stuff's nice. And they get like, give like,
by the way, we haven't talked about this. He's coming out here. Like,
Hideo Kojima.
Yeah.
Mm. Really? Where?
Yeah. He's doing some event in Sydney. He's doing some games conference.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Look it up. We've got to try and get him on this show.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I've got it on good authority. He might be here next week.
We got to ask him about, get him in here and just ask him questions about eating a redhead's pussy and all this sorts of stuff.
Yeah. I think he would probably love to talk about that. Yeah. You mean Meryl?
Yeah. Absolutely. Us with him and a
Meryl Streep?
No, Meryl from Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, okay.
us with him and a translator having to, like, having to relax. Those questions and answers back and forth.
I think he'd fucking love it.
Let's get him. Is he coming out?
Okay. It's as easy as that.
Yeah.
February 4 and 5 next year.
Just add him on Twitter.
Okay.
We've just got to build this podcast up enough that there is a chance we can get him.
Yeah.
In two months.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone.
Everyone tweet at Hideo Kojima.
Oh, God, please. Oh, maybe. Who cares?
He loves a tweet.
He loves a bit of a tweet.
Yeah.
That Death Stranding thing was there. Mass Effect, I don't know. Like the...
Because you don't like the kind of the mining and the finicky kind of stuff, do you?
I think I could.
Yeah.
Like,
you could learn to love it.
Yeah, that stuff would be fine. The only thing that really was weird in the trailer for me is that they showed like one sort of conversation.
Yeah.
And all the animation and stuff just looked a bit off.
It looks a bit last generation.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It looked like Telltale Games, kind of, how it's all a little stiff and weird.
Yes.
That was the only thing that really... And, like, it's all fucking Krogans and shit still. Like, if you're going to go to a new galaxy, have a new bunch of stuff, which they will as well, probably.
I guess they will. But, like, you're not going to have Star Wars and have no, like, you know... Not Jedi, but...
Or like no Wookiees or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's also a problem that I have with Star Wars.
Sure.
Is that like, if you've made this huge thing, go and have a walk around.
Yes.
Test the doorbells out. See what's working.
What did you think of...
Jimmy's a good guy.
Yeah. What did you think of Maz Kanata in The Force Awakens? She was a new alien.
Yeah, but she was also like a little goofy and weird.
Yeah.
Like... Star Wars is a different thing. I don't really care to go into right now.
Shut down.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I think it's very similar to Mass Effect.
To me, please, Ben. No, it is. And like, it will probably be good. And the they had a little clip of like actual footage of it, and it looked fun to jump around with that jetpack.
Oh, and the vehicle thing looked better than the previous ones.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It'll probably be really good.
Yeah.
And I'll probably like it. It's just like it's got the same shit that the other ones had of like the little technical issues and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
It does look a little bit like 3.5 instead of 4.
Totally. And especially like I have no confidence that that'll come out in March or whenever they're saying it will.
No.
That will be pushed back for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
All right, what else did it have? Anything?
Mate, you're in control.
Overwatch won game of the year.
Oh, actually, yeah, let's talk about the categories and stuff, because I don't think they're good, and I don't think that enough focus was made on them. Like, I think that they did lean towards having trailers and shit and not really explaining, like, here are the nominees for these awards. Yeah. This is why you should watch it, so you can find out who's going to win.
Yeah.
Your favorite game, what's it going to win? And they didn't really build that up at all in my
opinion. They kind of threw a couple of them away as well. Like, a lot of, like, they cut away from Schick Hydrobot and then go, by the way, best multiplayer game is this. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
It was really strange.
And also, like, would you agree with me that games are the most subjective of any art form, because your personal preference in what you like to play and mechanics that you enjoy factors into it to such a great extent?
Based on reviews I've gotten, I think that comedy is probably the most subjective art form. definitely. And the way that they divide up the like, there are a couple of categories, like best art direction and stuff like that, that I really like.
Yep.
That's the sort of stuff that they – but going like best action game – is such a broad...
Yeah, totally. It's an arbitrary dividing...
That's like everything except Tetris.
Totally. Yeah. And genres and stuff with games are so different from each other. Like, at least with movie things, it's like about general tone of like, is it a drama or a comedy? Or
that's what I mean. Yeah. Game of the year, Overwatch. Well, if you hate shooters, it's the worst game of the year.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Like, it seems like they were like, well, what was the most successful and most played game of the year? Yeah. Overwatch.
Well, and the way that it's voted on is they get like 20-something like big... reviewer outlet things to all vote.
By the way, the popularity of Overwatch kind of crept up on me in the last like 2 weeks. Like, I remember when it came out, we sort of talked about it. We all went, it felt like people reviews kind of went, it's fine, whatever. And I have not heard anyone talk about it since. But then
people
just
really
in the last couple of weeks, it's been a big, like, there's a group of a games group that we're in on Facebook where someone did a preliminary, hey, what do we think Game of the Year is going to be? And all these people kind of came out of the woodwork and were saying Overwatch when there's been no discussion of Overwatch
there's
in there since it came out.
There's been a heap of talk about it in that Facebook games group that we're in, MRA Gamers. Anyway. McWarrior. I think it was bringing you.
Ding-dong.
Mech Warrior 5.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I used to really like, I think, 4. It's a game where you're in a big fucking mech.
I fucking loved those games.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I had Mech Warrior Mercenaries for the, you know, for an old PC. I guess. And Mech Warrior 3 was great.
I didn't think they'd make another one ever as well. So
I agree.
Cool.
Yeah. And it looks good. Did you watch the footage?
No. I watched like the first 20 seconds and then had to go do something.
Kind of skimmed through it.
It was just someone walking down a hallway and I was like, okay, cool. Whatever. I've got to go.
Yeah. They went out of a hangar. They shot some stuff and it looks like it basically looks like they've reskinned the old games. Like they've just updated the textures and stuff and it looks great.
That's cool. And it's been
really
long
cool
enough between drinks that that's what you'd want as well, probably.
Yes. Yeah.
So... that's all that.
That's all that.
Yep.
Should we move along? The other big news of the week is that The Last Guardian finally came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And as we've been recording this, I got an email from the good folks at PlayStation saying that they've just sent us a copy. Is it out today? No, it's scheduled for release on the 7th, which is tomorrow.
Okay. Right.
So some reviews have come out.
When this episode comes out, it will be out.
So we can do a proper review of that next week. That one of you
this
guys
email
can...
is saying... today we'll be sending you a review disc. All reviews are embargoed until Tuesday the 6th of December. So what they're basically saying is you are not allowed to talk about this before we've sent it to you. Like,
okay. Yeah.
So I don't know why they needed to include that.
Can I see that?
What do you mean?
That dick.
The email.
The email, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That's weird.
Take a look.
Oh, it's long. I can't be bothered reading this.
Yeah, give me
at
my fucking
end, it says,
phone
love
back
you,
then.
Bye.
Don't go into the photos. So we'll talk about that a bit more next week.
Yeah.
It's getting the general vibe seems to be that it's okay.
It's fine.
It's
fine.
It
seems to have the yeah. same stuff that that Shadow of the Colossus and stuff did, where people are like, "Ah, the controls are fucking bad and shit." I read a review of it before, but
yeah.
Which probably before the embargo's up.
Uh-oh. So, yeah,
goodness.
I mean, it sounds like the whole mechanic of you being this little kid having this giant thing, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
The
environment's... I wish I had a giant thing when I was a kid.
Sorry, expand?
The... you know, a big cat.
Nice. The environments look great. The animation of the whatever it is, the bird dog thing looked really great.
It's a bird cat.
But how did, like...
It's not. It's just something. Like, you don't have to apologize.
No, he did, and I accept his apology.
Yeah, I was raised right. It is weird. How does a game take this long to come out and still have a shit camera and shit controls?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. What have you been doing all this time?
Review of Final Fantasy.
Well, yeah, great call.
They kind of do link in together, but that I don't get, like, how do you, what's taking all this time?
Yeah.
If you're not going to refine that.
How did they survive as a company for more than 10 years since they released their last game?
There was an HD re-release of Shadow of the Colossus, so that probably netted them a little bit of cash,
I guess.
But anyway. Yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting.
We'll talk about it next week.
I'm looking forward to going in. I'm hoping these complaints are maybe a little bit, because they're all, you know, this is the thing we talk about a lot on this show. If you review games, you're reviewing every single thing that comes out. So of course you're holding everything to this kind of same standard, and you have to just knock it off in, like, you know, 2 days.
Yeah.
So you're not really afforded the luxury of being able couple of days. You're not afforded the luxury of just being able to kind of, you know, dip in and out of it and kind of take your time with it and stuff.
I don't tend to know if I really like a game until, like, a month, you know,
totally,
after I've started.
It's got to sit
it.
With you. You find yourself out there kind of thinking about the characters. Mm. You find yourself kind of looking forward to getting home and playing it a bit more. Like, just sitting down and doing it all in one hit, that's not the way to kind of properly... You can review it on a technical level, sure, but, you know, I read a review of Last Guardian that said, at the end of the day, these little troubling things are outweighed by how much I love the vibe of it, and I love having, like, the how real this pet feels is really cool.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll talk about that a bit more next week.
Yes.
Hopefully, we can try and put some time in together and sit down with it.
Yeah, so I won't have a chance to see that other than here, I guess. So
yeah,
that'll be cool.
Yeah.
But so okay, let's move on to what we thought was going to be the biggest story of this week, and it's taken us 55 minutes to get to.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, we've been bloody gasp. I mean, that Jimmy the Doorbell rant, that was a good 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So, Final Fantasy 15 came out last week. Now, I get the impression that we all have very different... We all came into this with different views of the Final Fantasy franchise. Me, personally, never played one. Not a big RPG fan in general.
So you'd say you're a first timer.
Mm, I'm a first timer. And so I got to tell you, I got the game out of the case and I thought, boy, is this going to be for me? And imagine my surprise when within mere seconds of booting up the console, I was assured that this is for you. Now, Ben, Adam, you're both fans. Putting this thing in, did you worry? It's been a while between drinks. Maybe they're going to have... What
I was
they're
going to
have just kind of reset this. As a fan, I'm going to be left out in the cold.
Maybe they'll have moved on. Maybe they're looking to get a new audience. I don't know if this is going to be a Final Fantasy for fans or just for first timers.
Yeah.
Surely it can't be both.
Yeah.
Well,
but luckily, I slipped that little disc right in my butt crack.
You push whichever the fuck button it is on the front of that goddamn thing that turns it on.
You push the fuck button. Yeah.
Luckily, it is a Final Fantasy for fans and first timers.
Yes.
Thankfully. If you haven't played it, it says that right as you start it every time, and it's really weird.
Yeah. It's very funny. We were just saying...
Review,
like,
over.
We were just saying, like, it's funny how, like, it tells you that, and the fact that it then... You would think that would just be built into an opening cinematic, but no, it's literally before the title screen every time you turn it on.
It's so desperate seeming as well.
We do not need to be reminded.
Do you think it's desperate?
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
It's just a little bit quirky. And
I like it.
No, no,
I think it's cute.
It comes across
cute.
As so desperate to me of them, like, no, 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 it's for you.
Because this is the other thing, is like once you've seen that screen for the first time, you're no longer a first timer. So every time you see that screen now, it's not, it's irrelevant. It's not for you.
Yeah, it popped your cherry. You in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's desperate. I think that it is welcoming to a very like obtuse and confusing series, and it's saying like, hey, come on in everyone, the water's fine.
But then everything that happens after that does not follow up on that promise.
I just think it's very kind of like wonderfully quirky in a very Japanese way, and fits the tone of a lot of other stuff that's in the game.
Yeah. I think it's as confusing for fans as it is for first timers. That's what I think.
Totally. And I will say it actually did get me. Like when I turned on, I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah,
they want me here.
I really like the thing of all the signatures inside of the box.
Yeah.
That was really cute.
Yep.
You know, you can flip it the other way around. It's got like a nice little black cover as well.
Oh, really? No.
The little slip of paper.
Oh,
it looks
really?
Way better, like a clean little black cover with just a logo on it.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. I'm going to do that. That's
sweet. Okay, so let's talk about what we all came into this with. So I personally, if it were not for this show, I don't know that I would have gotten – I definitely wouldn't have gotten it day one like I did. I may have waited for a price drop or to hear a bit more kind of, you know – review of it from people I know, because I've never played one before. I'm not generally one for RPGs. Mm. Ben, you've talked about this on the show a lot. You're a diehard. You're a big series fan of the series.
I'm an FF head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
fuckhead.
God damn
that
it.
Is
Jimmy the doorbell, you've got me again.
That is the essence of our show diluted into one exchange. I'm a big FF head, a fucking fuckhead. That's it. That's what this show is.
Yeah. Oh dear. So I
bawdy passion.
My first time with Final Fantasy was, I think, Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
Which was that Super Nintendo?
Yeah, that was the last one on the Super Nintendo.
So, and I never owned a Super Nintendo, so I played that at a friend's house, I think, and was like, okay, yeah, I like RPGs, I like this kind of turn-based thing, but I never got to actually own it or play it all the way through.
Yeah.
And then I got a PlayStation and I got Final Fantasy VII, and like I played it like to the point where my parents were yelling at me to, you know, like get off the PlayStation, and I would yell back like, I just have to get to this save point. Like,
yeah,
literally that kind of.
I had that same experience with that one because you had to, it was like half an hour to an hour between.
And it was
the desperation of games that don't have like autosave or whatever.
Yeah.
And sitting down and going, okay, I got a bit, someone's coming around in half an hour, I got a bit of time, and like someone turning up at your house and you don't want to be rude and just sit there and play the game from the end. Just give me 5 minutes and let me just get to the next little save point.
I don't know about you, Nox, but like I found that game, Final Fantasy VII, really difficult.
I did as well. I think I had a similar experience to you. I think that was the first one I'd ever tried.
Yeah.
And I played like, I don't know, 4 hours of it or something and went, I can't do this.
Right. See, I became obsessed with it. I genuinely became. I bought a strategy guide. Like, I, and this was like, fuck. This was back in the day when you
changed the name to Cloud.
Yeah. No, but I did all of the weird stuff that you can just kind of like go on GameFAQs now and look up stuff.
Yeah.
But I tried to find like all the materia, all the potions, all the fucking like locations of everything, all the side quests.
And that shit
like,
was obscure in that game as well.
Yeah, it was really obscure. And just fucking loved it. Really, really liked it.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VIII came out. Was not as good.
See, I got really into 8. I really liked 8.
But I really liked 8 as well, yeah. I had it on the PC, and I didn't love it as much as 7, but
Did that have a big rhombus-shaped box? That worse Nirvana song?
No, you're thinking of your mum. Oh, no! No! Two separate and unequal takes. Mine was no good. I played a fuckload of Final Fantasy VIII as well.
Yeah. I remember being in the Scouts and it was the first time because I would have been like 8 or 9 when Final Fantasy VIII came out. Maybe 9. I would have been 9.
Okay.
Or 10,
well, I would have been 11 or 12.
9, I think.
99.
So 13. 8 or 9. Anyway, I remember being in the Scouts. It was the first time I really bonded with a stranger over video games
for
some reason.
Yeah.
He was like, do you want to come into this office and play a video game? I was like, where is he? He's like, it's really easy. All you have... No.
Adam.
I remember thinking Final Fantasy VIII was... this guy, whoever it was, he fucking loved Final Fantasy VIII because he came up, he's like, you ever played Final Fantasy VIII? And I was like, yeah. And he looked over to his friend, he's like, he's played the game. He's like, what game do you mean? The game.
Wow.
And I still remember that because I was like, just call it its fucking title. It's not the game.
Yeah.
Mario 64 is good, cunt. And then I fucking didn't make any friends.
But but Final Fantasy VIII, like, for all its shortcomings, it is a really good game.
Yeah.
And stuff like the art direction, the art style, and the score are all amazing and all hold up pretty damn well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a similar... Yeah, I've played, like... I think most of them now to some extent.
Yes.
Not all the way through or anything, but
yeah.
A little bit of probably each of them other than maybe the online ones.
So, I played a bit of 9, then I think didn't play any until 13.
Right.
Wow. And didn't like 13.
13 wasn't very good. 12 was really good. Anyway, 15.
Yes.
So this has been in development for a long time.
Like 10 years.
Yeah.
It was going to be versus 13.
It was, yeah, it was originally going to be like an offshoot kind of thing, and then eventually developed into its own title.
And
it's,
you can tell, you like, I'm going to say straight away, I really like this game.
Yeah.
It's
I think we're on the same page.
Fucking mess.
I really like it too.
Yeah.
I have issues with it, but I'm really enjoying it.
I wouldn't describe it as a mess. Yeah, I think that I love it. Like, I think that I really, really, really like this game.
Yeah,
this is my thing. I can't tell if the bits of it that I don't like are like
symptomatic of the series,
legitimate flaws with the game itself, or just my own proclivities with what I do and do not like with games.
Okay,
you know what? Let's talk about what we're liking about it. What drew me in as someone who's not a fan of this, who doesn't have any attachment to the series? I just saw these weird videos of these four fucking leather boys driving around in a convertible, and I thought, that looks fucking... I don't give a fuck what the lore is here, what the legacy is of this. Just this looks cool.
Right.
So I kind of... I like... Now, you said you've turned off the dialogue in the game.
I've turned it back on. I turned it off for a while.
As in just the sound?
Yes, just the sound, and put the subtitles on.
Right. I love all the cheesiness of it.
Yes,
I like the characters. They're so archetypal, but I just love all that stuff.
It's all very Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, it's these people who fill these real specific roles, don't have hugely depth-filled characters beyond that, but, like, are so leaning into that type of character that it still works.
It fills in the blanks.
Totally. Yeah. The dialogue, I think, has been really well translated in that you can tell it's a Japanese translation and has, like, turns of phrase that don't necessarily work as well in English.
Well, but here's
it's been
what I think...
taken and done well enough and done with the right attitude by the actors that it totally sells it.
Yeah.
And this is what's weird. Like, it is very Japanese, but then you, like, go to the outpost and stuff and the actors that they've gotten to do the characters are all fucking real hillbillies.
Well, but that,
do you know what I mean? It's like this real Japanese lore.
That's the Western equivalent of whatever they would have sounded like.
Sure,
in
but
Japan.
I find that the lore is so Japanese, and it's like, well, that's when the kingdom first fell.
Like, but then you have to admit, Tommy, like having like been to Japan, they do fetishize Western culture.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So I think it's that.
I think it's a bit of a and the whole. I mean, you know, just even the very opening where you're pushing the car and there's which the Florence and the Machine doing a cover of Stand By Me, which is that commissioned just for this?
I think it is,
Which is cool.
Which, like, none of the games have done before. It's all been original music. And just like, okay, this is, like the game, going to be a mess of a review from us, I think, probably. I do not like the music in this. It's real forgettable, real just backgroundy. It's not bad, but it's been such a good point of the other ones. And like, to the point where it keeps reminding you of that because you're driving around listening to the old music.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is way better than anything that's happened in this.
I haven't really noticed any kind of soundtrack stuff apart from the same music that plays anytime you fight in a battle, which I think is fine for what it is.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just something that's missing from it that has been in other ones, but it's not terrible in any way.
Sure. And I think the stuff, the refrains that they do use, like the chocobo, like...
See, I'm not even up to that yet. I'm just up to the... Your, And we're going to spoil the first couple of hours, I guess.
Yeah, and there's not heaps to spoil, I don't think, within that.
And that's also something we should talk about because it's a pretty fucking...
I was just going to say...
So I've just gone to meet that guy who takes you to the tomb and you get that first sword.
Right.
And then he says, go to this other one. And I've just left the other one.
The, like, right. Corporal or whatever he is. The,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Core. His name's Core, I think.
Yeah.
So Corporal.
So that's where I'm. That's where I'm up to. So I'm still pretty early, I guess.
But yeah.
Kind of deep in enough to kind
of. But that's where it about kind of like opens up and you start doing more of the like side stuff and exploring the world and whatever.
Yeah.
Which has been really good. Like, there's something fucked about, like, it makes you. Well, it doesn't make you. You can do a fast travel thing if you want, but you drive around these really long distances and you do nothing. But for some reason, it's fun.
I
really like it for some reason. It sells the road trip thing.
I'm
happy to sit there and just watch these fucking pretty leather boys' hair blow in the wind.
I will say I was a little disappointed the first time I got in the car to find that you can't just do what you want.
Yeah.
Open world style.
You're basically on rails.
Yeah. Like, even that first time where it lets you drive, it lets you actually control the driving and the accelerating and stuff, you know, I would kind of like... I noticed it was correcting me, and then I was like, wait, if I just stop, is this just going to steer for me? And it was like, oh,
the answer
it's, just,
is yes.
it's on rails. Yeah. But so, okay, so that... I agree, though. Like, I kind of was like... After all, I was like, oh, that's a bummer. And then I realized, well, if you want to just drive a car around like in GTA, you can just play GTA.
Exactly. Like, like, I don't think that this game would deal well with, like, getting stuck on rocks and all that
totally.
Shit. Like, it would be way shittier if you could fuck up the driving.
I think the having to rest and the way that you level up after each day, you only level up when you rest.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. The little animations that you see when you check into a campsite or a hotel are very charming.
They're such small details. The way he clicks his fucking fingers every time he comes up, like, decides what to cook for that night.
It's
a really nice little, like, it's got all those tiny little details.
So you can choose what the guy who's in your party, who's like the chef, you can choose what he's going to cook for you and for your rest night. And then that gives you, that kind of affects your abilities for
gives
the next
you
day.
Status
temporarily.
Buffs.
I like all that stuff. But again, I always find this weird in games where, like, it's made a decision where it's like, you have to rest at night. Like, you basically.
You don't have to, but you should.
And the other characters are constantly saying, like, hey, it's getting late. We should turn in. Yeah. Like, so it's trying to be very realistic in, like, well, yeah, if you were four guys out on a quest, you would need to be resting pretty regularly. So it kind of makes you do that in a very real world way. You have a car that you kind of travel around points to. You get, if you run for too long, like, you wear out the sprint button and you get tired and
That's
you stop.
So annoying.
But there's a little hack for that. Do you know the hack?
No.
Just as you start to stagger to a stop after you've sprinted, press the L3 button again and you get a boost. So you can sprint forever.
I've read that and haven't been able to do it.
Oh, I have.
I spent fucking heaps of experience in buying the, like, sprint extending.
Right.
Well, we should take this back to the start because we kind of just dove straight in without giving any context to anyone.
Tasmanian devil in reverse.
So basically, it opens and you're four guys. You're pushing a car along the road. It turns out you're the prince of a kingdom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're going to go find this girl and marry her because she's the princess of a different kingdom and you're going to have an alliance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then shit happens.
And so the shit that happens is, like, in the game it's presented as, like, 12 seconds of footage from the movie that I saw.
It's presented so poorly.
Very, very choppy and bad and, like, just fade to black, fade up to something weird that does it out of context.
Yep.
Having seen that movie, it actually genuinely helps.
Wait, I don't know that I even saw this bit. What? When?
Right towards the start, like, just before the kingdom gets taken over. You might not be up to that, actually.
No,
yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be after that, actually.
Yeah.
They're just, like, there's just a few seconds of footage of, like, these two old guys with a bunch of swords around them and, like, the big Godzilla-looking thing destroying the city.
I didn't see that.
Oh, really?
That didn't happen for me.
Oh, you know, it is...
What happened for me was I was at that dock.
Yeah.
Where you get the guy is, like, saying, hey, you can get the boat over here.
So just before that is when the footage happens.
I didn't see it.
During it.
Or, like, when he brings a newspaper in the morning.
Yeah, I got the newspaper.
Yeah.
I didn't get the footage.
So that footage is actually part of that, like, day one patch, so you might not have downloaded that.
No, I hadn't yet.
Oh,
you're right,
okay.
I hadn't.
That'd be why. Yeah.
Because I bought it and put it in, and it was like, we were talking about this on the day, a fucking 9 gig patch or something.
Yeah.
And I just went, Oh, man, I just want to start playing this to talk about on the show.
Right. Because
yeah, so I thought we were doing this 3 days earlier than we've ended up, or 2 days earlier than we've ended up doing it. So I just wanted to dive in.
Yeah.
Because I had some time and I was like, you know what? If it lets me play, I'm just going to start playing.
Yeah.
And so, right, that was in the patch.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, which is shitty as well. And like, yeah. But even
but I will say
seen
this,
that, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No. I actually felt, I feel like that, I felt the impact of that was a little stronger for having not seen any of the bullshit footage.
Yeah, right.
Like, you just go, because I, for me, as far as I was concerned, I'm doing this mission and I'm going to rest up and then I'll, get up and I'll be able to get this boat and I'll go on my merry way.
Yeah.
And so I just think I'm doing a routine, you know, just the rest that you have to do at the end of each day
and
in
then
the
it's
game.
Like, oh, fuck.
And then this guy comes in, he's got the newspaper and he's like, oh, hey. And then the guy, and then that, because, so that crept, there wasn't like a, I hadn't seen a cutscene that alerted me that was going to happen.
Okay.
It just kind of crept up on me and I was like, oh, fuck, this shit's gone down. And then, like, I felt like I was kind of thrown right into it.
Yeah, I reckon that would have been way better because I really didn't like the cutscene stuff.
It did,
I wonder
it,
if they threw it in as like, by the way, you can buy the Blu-ray for $24.99 separately. Like, I don't know. But that's maybe too cynical. But the, like, so even with or without that, I'm a little further in. I'm up to like chapter 8. Where are you?
Oh, I'm up to like chapter 5, but I've played like for 20 hours, so I think I've been
doing a little
more of the main stuff.
Yeah.
And so I won't go into any specifics, obviously, but just the way the story is presented is very poor in a cinematic sense. It just like kind of chops and starts and who's this person and what the fuck's happening and then something has happened off screen there. And
yeah.
I guess you've sort of told me about it, but we were running and then a monster showed up so your sentence cut off halfway through.
Yeah.
And it's just like that sort of shit is very patchy and all over the place and a little tough to follow maybe. Like it's not a complex story. Sort of warring factions and the gods will be angry and all that shit.
It's more of a like, I don't understand why anything's why anyone's really doing anything.
Totally.
Like, I don't understand their actual emotions or motivations.
And I think it's meant to be that way, and it's like meant to create suspense, but it's not good writing.
Yep.
It's just confusing.
Yes.
Like, I'm generally pretty bad with keeping up at storylines that are fantasy-driven, because once different kingdoms and stuff get introduced, I just...
The snark of Grenganine.
Yeah, I just kind of zone out and lose track of who everyone is and what the relationships are.
Yep.
And I'm just clinging on at the moment, but the tomb that I've just done and this guy coming in, I'm like, all right, I reckon this is the turning point. Like,
yeah.
This is the line where I'm about to start having no fucking clue what's
going
on.
You're
going to
get a whole bunch of Niflheims and different names of gods and shit thrown at you.
Yeah.
Like emissaries who like, it just doesn't explain shit well at all.
Yeah.
And has like this huge, like there's an element of like having this big world that's already established and it doesn't give you it. It just lets it happen around you.
Yeah.
That can work well. This doesn't do it well.
No,
so
it doesn't.
It's lucky that it has the most gameplay and side stuff appeal of any of these games in a very long time.
And so I think the big things that I like about this, the main reasons that I've been obsessed with it are visually it's amazing.
Yeah.
I think the world is incredibly designed. It's a very specific design style.
It's one of those things
full
where,
of personality.
Yeah. Like I'm in it. Like, you know what I mean? I get it. Like I'm invested. I believe all of it.
Just in terms of visual quality, I'm playing on the Xbox One and it's a little worse. It's just blurrier. And I don't know if this is the case. I haven't seen the PS4 one much, but like stuff that's even a little bit far away from me looks like a PS3, maybe PS2 game.
Oh, really?
Just like the hills and stuff in the background. Very fuzzy, flat textures. All just like a little gross looking.
I haven't noticed that at all.
I think
that's probably an Xbox thing.
I think the PS4 version, like I haven't noticed any graphical problems at all.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the Xbox One doesn't look great.
Yeah.
Then.
But like,
it's fine still because the art is behind it is really good.
Yeah.
I do love stuff like this where it's like, okay, so this is like a made up place. This is fantasy land. But still, some people have American accents and some people have British accents.
Yeah.
So that's like, this guy's going to sound this way to let you know that he's a little bit tough.
Yeah,
it's like,
well,
if you're going to invent a whole new universe, you can't lean on like on signifiers from our world. Like
In Titanfall, the mercenaries were still South African. Just like space South Africans.
Yeah.
Couple of space Australians. Yeah.
Really. So I think like, and some of the stuff in it, like when you like first go into like a tree-lined valley and like an estuary, like a lake.
It's great.
It's a the sense of scale is done perfectly.
Yeah,
like,
totally. And better but when than you I first think. First, go anything. Down to the docks, and you can
suck off that dude.
That mission where you have to go down and knock the dicks out of that guy's mouth who heckled you at the comedy club the night before. Knox, let's you and I set ourselves a challenge that in the next year we have to say that to someone on stage who's talking during a gig. I don't come down to your work and knock the dicks out of your mouth.
Fuck. Yeah, right. I will always carry like a large air horn with me so that if I do it, I can and
fuck.
That'll
let's just write it into the next Chimp Cop show.
Yeah, right. Make it the whole thing.
Yeah.
I have a bit, just to detour very briefly, I have a bit about in my stand-up.
Oh, Final Fantasy 15 style. little detour.
This is a side mission in this podcast. I have a bit about chivalry and describing a thing that is not chivalrous. And a guy last night in the crowd, as I was saying that, went, "That's right, it's not." And I was like, "Get a load of this guy with his fucking tilting his fedora as he said that." We get it, bro. You eat pussy. Very hard to go back into the bit after whipping that one out in a crowded room. When you're down at the docks and just being able to see that big kind of like jutting out, whatever it is, like slanted.
Yeah.
Car, whatever it is, that just so
big
far
rock,
off in
big,
the distance,
bit of debris, rock stuff. Yes,
looks, it, again, you buy it. You just there's no
totally.
It's
the
impressive
little animations.
How there's no games have always used like you know forced perspective or hiding stuff around a corner for the game to load it all up. You just get the sense that you're in it and you could be at any point of it at any time. And,
or just the little stuff of little people like playing around on the beach, splashing each other.
Yeah,
or the people eating dinner in the restaurant going like, "Oh, this is great."
Yeah.
Like it just, it all, that stuff all completely works.
Yeah.
And then the combat is pretty fun.
Yeah. What do you think about the tombat?
Okay.
What do you think about the tombat?
Okay. So I'll say that I started the game by playing the tutorial.
Did you successfully turn the PlayStation on?
I mean, that was the first tutorial. That was 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I started – I was like, I'd better do this. I've never played one of these before. I'd better play the combat tutorial.
Yep.
And I was doing that and I thought, oh, I think I'm going to hate this game.
I kind of felt the same way.
Yeah. And so, I mean – I kind of respect the idea of doing it in this kind of the tutorial is its own separate thing, so not having to kind of build it into the game a little bit. But I also felt like I don't know, I just,
it's daunting.
I didn't like that, and I've got to say, for the most part, I don't really like the combat. I'm getting a bit better with it, but I just think, like, you had to tell me that you hold down the buttons.
Yeah,
it doesn't tell you that at any point.
Yeah, maybe not. And also, the wait mode, I think, is way better than the active.
Wait mode does make it easier. But for me, I've never been the biggest fan of turn-based stuff, just in general.
Right.
And so I like the real-time element of this, but I find it very hard because there's also a lot of subtleties to the combat that you kind of that you learn about in the training mode. But then once you're in actual combat, it's you
it's
and
so
your three
quick.
Mates, and there's six things, and there just isn't the time to it all. And
it's tough to tell when
And the camera
when they're
sucks
leap at you.
Yeah, in the combat
is,
a lot of the time.
Yeah.
The camera is a very big hassle.
Well, and so that's something that the wait mode helps with, is you can take a second to reset it and look at what you want to see.
Yep.
And it does add layers onto what you have happening already.
It does. That's true. But there's so much stuff to monitor.
No, I mean like the combat will get more. There's more stuff to consider what you might want to do later on.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting. I'm like, oh yeah, you can summon your mates to do stuff. Oh yeah, you can equip spells. And I just for me, and again, this is just. I mean, it's easy to just go, it should be this. When what I mean is, what I would prefer is this. It's so close to just being arcade style button mashing hack and slash that I wish it was just that.
Yeah.
I wish there wasn't that, or that it was just done in a little more like automated way or whatever.
Also,
I don't know.
Knox, you mentioned earlier in the show the game Diablo.
Yes.
So in the game Diablo, you basically hold down a button to attack and then you can do abilities and do spells. And it's really simple and there's no blocking and dodging and wait mode and summoning and there's no like scanning enemies for weaknesses. It's just really simple. And I feel like maybe they should have gone one way or the other with this.
Just quickly, I don't think Nox did mention Diablo on the show. I think that was before we started recording the show. I don't want people to hear that and go, I just, they cut out a sweet Diablo chunk.
I walked in the door and went, Diablo, motherfuckers!
Yo-ho, Diablo! Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm really liking it. The only problem I really have with it is that it's tough to tell when someone's about to attack you sometimes.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Unless, like, there's sometimes when it shows a big button.
The block,
prompt,
yeah. But all the stuff that I said about it, it's not like I'm in battles and I'm still getting through them. Like, yeah, I'm still able to, but it's just, it just never feels very satisfying because it feels like I'm just...
You're just flailing.
You play Street Fighter, you don't know the moves, so you're just like mashing every button. Yes. It's like, well, I won, but through no... Yeah, so I feel like...
I agree quite a bit.
I got through this, but it's not like I went, you know, like I... As much like I said before, I don't love turn-based stuff. I like it in Pokemon.
Right.
Because you get through it and you kind of go... Okay, yeah, I played that well. I knew when to retreat. I knew when, you know what I mean? Yeah. I played my moves too well. This is just like, okay, I got through that. I just did it. I don't know how I did it. I just hit the buttons a lot. I followed some cues that were on the screen at the right times when it told me to block. That's kind of letting it down a bit for me.
I pretty much agree. Like when I suggested it could have been simpler, maybe it could have, but I don't think that it's a horrible combat system. I just don't think it's, I don't know. It's not my favorite thing about the game.
It's not unplayable. I just think it needed it. It needed it. Again, it's dumb to say this for a game that's been, you know, in the works for 10 years. Mm. It just needed a little extra time on it, I think. Yeah.
And because, it's such a, like, I think virtually every aspect of the game is pretty much the exact same. I would have the exact same criticisms of.
Mm.
Like, pretty much everything, it all works together so well and it creates this world really well. Like, that aspect of it is what it does the best.
Yep.
But every individual aspect of it is just, like, a little fucking weird.
Just a little off. Yeah,
and just, this thing where you're sort of struggling with it sometimes or putting up with it sometimes, but you totally want to because there's something really fascinating.
It's like that combat system was designed like 7 years ago when the game was just going to be one person and all your fights would be one-on-one. And if that was the case, I'm sure it'd work great. And it actually probably would be really cool to have, you know, button mashing stuff, but with a little bit more intricacy in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, then they added these three other friends and made the world all drawn out and made it fucking swarms of creatures. And at no point did anyone go, oh fuck, we've got to rethink this because this is
there's like 33 things on screen at the time. Like
I'm so sick of blowing my friends up with magic.
Yeah.
It's just so annoying.
But then you have to use magic for some bosses and stuff because it's
really
effective.
But they're right up there next to the fuckers.
Yeah.
And you can't tell them like, hey, come back, you dicks. I'm going to throw a big fucking fireball.
I didn't even know that for a long time that when you went to use an item, the game would, like, the combat would pause.
Freezes,
So I just, like, avoided using items and then people start dying and you can't bring them back and their maximum health's going down. It's like, there's so many things to manage.
That's the other thing that kind of always...
You're actually losing it over there.
That's the other thing that does take me out of it a little bit. It's like going into a pause menu to equip stuff. Because this is what I was getting at.
That is actually a little too slow.
But this is what I was getting at before before we detoured and went all the way back to the start.
Yeah.
So you've got all this stuff in it where it is trying to be very, like, you have to rest every day because that's what would happen in the real world. You have this car, you use that to drive around.
Yep.
You get tired if you run too long because that's what would happen in the real world. So it's really pushing all this stuff. But then, meanwhile, at any point, you can just go into the menu and just transport to your car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm thankful that that's there.
Yes.
I don't want to have to fucking run 8 miles every time to get to my car. Fuck, I regret so badly setting you up for that.
Say any other number.
69 miles.
dun, dun, dun. But, and again, the magic stuff, like equipping that, you know what I mean? It's like, you've sort of got to just go full video game style and go, okay, well, this stuff's going to happen without explanation. Or it's always those kind of little in between things where it's a little inconsistent that sort of bothers me a bit. Like, I almost feel like you shouldn't be able to, you've got what you've got, and then mid-battle you can't change that, you know? Like,
totally. But at the same time, like, I have a lot of problems with it, and I still really like it. And there's something, for some reason, this, like, huge mess of a thing that took way too long to realize its potential and is good but has massive flaws, something about that speaks to me.
I mean, this is the thing, you know, we've all got pretty, you know, significant criticisms of it, but we're all still... loving it.
And I think I'm going to see it through to the end. Yeah, and I think I really like it.
I think that it's the case with a lot of kind of like forms of art where an ambitious and idiosyncratic thing is probably going to be better if you like it than something that's like vanilla,
totally.
Yes.
safe.
Totally.
But effective. Like, yeah. You know, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I will respect anything where it's really going for something.
Yeah.
You know, I'll forgive those flaws because it's like, well, you know, yeah, it's having a crack and you can't go that big without, you know, risking a couple little flaws. Yeah.
Go big or go home, that's what I always
say. Yeah.
Okay, I think that's kind of all we need to say on this game for now.
I'll say that for fans of the series.
Yeah.
It is. It's got a lot of fan service, I guess. You know, like
just like, hey, here's this monster you remember, all that sort of shit.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. So, is this set in the same world?
No, they're all different. Right. They're all reboots, like James Bond or whatever. It's just like,
but there's holdovers and
Totally. And a lot of stuff about it, like potions, phoenix downs, like all the names, elixirs, all of the names of the items are the same throughout all most of the games. Chocobos are in all most of the games.
Yeah. Spiky hair.
Spiky hair.
Fucking annoying fringes. Their fringes really bother me.
Yeah.
Because it fucks up your eyesight if you have your hair covering your eyes too much.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Anyway, that's...
Sweep it back.
Wow, that's the element of realism that bothers you with it.
Walk back to your car, but for God's sake, bike home.
A strangely sexless yet sexist approach to women?
Oh, yeah. It's a little...
Yeah.
Yeah. Cindy's weird.
Cindy's real weird.
Yeah.
And having no there's always been female playable characters in the games. Mm.
Yeah.
And there's none now.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's... I don't know what I think about it. Because Cindy's, like, real hyper-sexualized visually, but then treated as just a normal person who's a mechanic.
Totally.
In terms of dialogue and gameplay.
I think that's just and it is very Japanese, but that's just an aesthetic choice. Like, this is visually interesting. I guess.
I don't know. I reckon it's made for gross guys.
Yeah, totally.
It's
really similar to Quiet from Metal Gear Solid 5. Yeah. Where
I don't
just
find
like...
Cindy in there, and I'm not saying this is good. I don't find Cindy any worse than like a Bond girl, you know, walking out of the water in a bikini. Yeah, and a big deal being made out of that.
Like, the difference I always find with video games is that with the Bond girl in the bikini, someone didn't spend hours making that and, like, had every opportunity to... maybe that doesn't really actually make a difference because they do spend an hour buying Halle Berry a swimsuit or whatever.
Oh, yeah. That's all debated and that's probably filmed a bunch of times. Like, it is the same amount of time goes into...
Yeah, it's weird. And, like, nothing about her personality is, like, shittily done.
No.
Really.
And it's not... it's not Dead or Alive style where she's, like, doing cartwheels and, like, you've seen
a little bit of that of her, like, reaching over and scrubbing your car that, like... Yeah. I don't know, but maybe it's... Who knows what qualifications I have to talk about this?
Well, so I've been reading a lot of, you know, like reviews, but also comments just from, you know, people commenting on reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
And trying to find a female perspective. And a lot of them, the women responding to these reviews are like, look, yeah, Cindy is kind of fucked. Yeah. And I wish that there was a female protagonist or a female playable character. But I also think I, being this, you know, this female commenter, think that the four guys are designed to appeal to women.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're a boy band. They're these kind of, like, cute/hunky dudes.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything particularly, like Gears of War is like, rock band, we're bros.
Yeah.
But, that's starting to hurt my voice. Doing
But, yeah, I feel like, and I don't know if that's a defense or what it means.
Honestly,
like, I don't know, yeah.
I think it's closer to a culture clash than
a
sexist thing necessarily, which maybe you could say that the Japanese culture around this thing is slightly more sexist than it should be. But, again, I ain't no fucking commentator, baby.
Yeah.
I'm just a simple man who knows what he likes, and I like to see hot chicks with visible G-strings.
Nice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I guess we should call it a day. This has been a bumper episode.
Yeah,
yeah, it gets real dangerous out here podcasting at night. we gotta rest.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we'll be back next week. We'll have a bit of Last Guardian talk.
Yeah.
A few other few other stray things mm-hmm. from around the place, I'm sure. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Again, if you've come over from the Weekly Planet, thank oh. you for joining us.
No. I've come up with a new recipe.
Thank you to the Weekly Planet for having me on as a guest.
Yes.
If yeah. you come over from listening to that, hey.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you should, if you're, likewise, if you're a diehard filth ooh. And you haven't listened to the Weekly Planet, go listen to Ben on that show yeah. this week. I just listened to it. Very good.
Yeah, it was a great, it was really good fun. So, yeah, thanks again and hello.
So we've got, give us the socials.
At FilthyCasPod on Twitter, FilthyCasuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com. If you'd like to sling us some cash to help us buy games to play, it's paypal.me/filthypod.
And shout out to the guy who said, oh, I, because we've said if you want us to play a specific game, if you want to fuck our shit up and, you know, make us ruin our lives by playing something extremely fucked,
yep.
send us the money for it. Let us know what it is. Shout out to the guy who said, I want you to play this and I'm going to fund it. It costs $0.
Yeah, I think it was Brent. So I've downloaded that. That's a game called Drop 7. Uh-huh. I think it's a puzzle game, a mobile game. So I'll give that a go before
okay,
next episode.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks very much for joining us and for listening and for all the comments and stuff that you guys leave during the week. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next week. And as we always say here at the end of Filthy Casuals,
I wish I was the Schick Hydro bot.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.